Do you agree with that?
Yes and no. I think you're going to be, you listen to everything, but I think you're forced to build around Sabonis and LaVine right now.
Forced LaVine because of the contract. Why
I
Sabonis?
think Sabonis a little bit in the contract too. I think he is probably, people don't look at it as, and it's because it's not too. It's not Zach LaVine's
How
contract and all
will
that, but
new Kings general manager David Griffin feel about this? That was a joke. Sorry, Griff. Griff actually did lose his job. We didn't think that he would, but he did.
and people rationalize. All right, it's just the way things go. People be rationalizing David Griffin now. This guy just got fired.
What do you mean rationalizing him?
Like, well, you get Griffin here.
Okay, settle down.
All right, man. Come on, man.
No, with all due respect, like no.
Come on. And I'm not even saying like he would be a
Why
bad
would we
hire.
do that when we have Vlade here already?
I'm not even saying he'd be a bad hire. I just, you know how it goes. You can't talk about how Malone needs to go, or excuse me, Monty McNair needs to go, and talk about, hey, Griff, that'd be a good look.
Yeah,
What?
don't do that. Don't do that.
What? So,
I don't even know that Griff did a bad job in New Orleans, to be honest with
I'm
you.
not here to say he did
When
either.
you think about, like a lot of this hinges on Zion, and then he was able to, it took a while, but he was able to trade Brandon Ingram. He did get CJ there. Like I'm sorry, Willie Green didn't get fired.
I'd say not yet.
Well, it's kind of weird to fire the general manager. I mean, I like Willie Green. I'm not advocating for his firing. I thought that was weird. You rarely see the general manager fired by themselves.
It's a little weird if you just fire Monty McNair.
No, because you don't fire Doug Christie. Doug Christie doesn't have a job. The second the Kings lose, if the Kings lose one of these next, if the Kings lose Wednesday, or wind up winning and lose Friday, Doug's job is done. He's an interim head coach. That interim tag runs out when the Kings season ends. So you don't fire Doug Christie. It's okay. Either the coaching search is on, or we've made the decision to retain Doug Christie. That's all it is. And fire Monty McNair, which creates a whole other set of issues.
It does. It
Because
does.
now you have a general manager coming in going, "That's my guy, hi." Okay. All right.
So I don't know. Like I said, I look at this team and I don't know. I think we're dismissing a little too quickly what's going on this year. That's just my thought. And
I'm not trying to
Maybe even I did that too on Wednesday and just saying they're done. They don't want to play with each other no more. Maybe they just want this season to be over because this has been a mess. It doesn't have to be, I don't like playing with this guy no more. It could be, I'm tired of this. This is, I need a reset from all this. You know what I mean? It could be that. I've been in those situations, not in the NBA, but I've been in those situations where, like, I like all the people around me. This season's just a mess. I'm done with this. And
That's
those
how
things
Kenny
happen.
felt about this year of the show.
No.
I'm done with this.
Never that. Never that.
Damn, Jesse and Joe Brazil. Don't like playing together anymore. No, I hear you. And to a certain degree, I agree with you. But at the same time, I hear Jesse, and to a certain degree, I agree with him. They have a monumentally bad loss. And then they do a couple of things, and it's like, oh, maybe it's not so bad. It's a terrible analogy. It's terrible. I recognize this is an abusive relationship. You're in an abusive relationship with someone who treats you poorly, but then they buy you flowers. Then they take you to a nice dinner, and you're like, oh, maybe it's not so bad. Maybe they're turning a corner. And then, it's abusive again. That's this basketball team and this fan base. You lose to the Wizards. You beat Charlotte. Oh, no one cares. You're not moving me by beating Charlotte. Oh, but then you beat Cleveland. Oh, that's the diamond necklace. Then you beat Detroit after beating Cleveland, and it's like, oh, it's the diamond necklace and a weekend getaway. And I don't know that they've really had a bad loss since that. Like, they got beat by Denver. They lost to Denver. That was a tough game against one of the hottest, if not the hottest team in the league, the Los Angeles Clippers, the other night. I don't think there's any reason. You could be frustrated with the final possession. You could be frustrated with the final shot. I don't think as a 48-minute totality, there's no reason to be frustrated with the way the Kings played that game. And then they played Jonas Valanciunas, you know, 20 minutes or 30 minutes or whatever it was yesterday, and beat Phoenix. Like, Phoenix wasn't trying to win. It doesn't matter. Like, the Kings went out there and took care of business. So they haven't really had a bad one since Washington. But those Washington moments have lived throughout the year, which is why I think, to Jesse's point, is we lean in. Oh, man. Okay, maybe it's not so bad. And then they remind you, no, it's bad. And then they have the Detroit Cleveland games. Oh, maybe it's not so bad. And you're left truthfully. I think my honest assessment on this basketball team is I don't have one. I have no idea what to think about this basketball team. I've always believed that this talent, and I'll say it now that the season is over, this basketball team in my little know-nothing head is better than a 40-42 record. The talent on this basketball team is better than a 40-42 record, which leads me back. I guess it could lead me back to both of your points. To Jesse's, it's not the players. It's the way they complement each other or the way that they don't. Or to your point, it's an off season together will do this team more justice.
Well, what's really happened, I believe, as I think about this, is myself and Jesse, we've worked ourselves into a shoot because we're saying the same thing. If I got this correctly, Jesse's saying, you don't have to get rid of everybody. Everybody's on the table.
He's saying, listen.
Everybody's, you know, something you listen to. And, you know, maybe this guy here, you know, you make an addition here, you move this guy here, whatever the case may be. I'm saying the same exact thing. I'm saying the same exact thing.
You guys, I'm a little more open to probably going more towards a rebuild. Like we're probably saying the same things, but I'm a little bit more over this group, I think, than
you're saying it. I guess to go back to the beginning of the show, Jesse's saying it in a more glass half empty way. You're right. Saying it in a more glass half full.
Probably
way.
So. Now, here's the one thing that.
By the way, we're 68 minutes into this show. No sneezes. The number is 5.5.
I told you it's going to be less. It's not the sneeze. It's the congestion.
You built it up as if
you Donaghy this whole thing.
I kind of think that you did.
No,
Prize Picks might pull this off the table.
It's the nose, the runny nose. That's what I was warning everybody about. Not the sneezes.
No, I think you
I tried to tell you guys you referenced
sneezes.
Nobody wanted to listen. They're like 6.5, 5.5. I said, I'm going way less. No, it's not going to be that many.
Prize Picks is on the verge of pulling this off the board.
Yeah.
Nobody wanted to listen. Some offshore betting coming in here.
How much money did Kyrie Irving make type situation for
nobody wanted to listen. It just ran with your own lineup.
Run the tape back. I don't think I said sneezing.
But then the number was put out there. I said, you guys are crazy. I'm going way less. It's not going to be 6 or 5 times. No. I'm going more. If it's 5.5, I'm going more.
I'm going more. Right.
I'm telling you, it's not.
Well, we're at 69 minutes now. Zero sneezes, and Prize Picks is taking a close look at Kenny Caraway. Close look.
So the tone. I'll go with the tone of what Jesse said. Is Jesse's more sounds like all these guys can go. Like, for the right deal, they all can go. Is that accurate?
Yeah, that's accurate.
I'm not necessarily there. I think that's the difference. And I don't think that you're spinning your wheels or it's a bad thing if you move on from DeMar DeRozan and you bring back a starting point guard so Monk goes off the bench. You keep Keegan. You keep LaVine. You keep Sabonis. I don't think that's guaranteeing you another 40-win season.
If you
only made one real move. Like, obviously, you got Trey Lyles as a free agent, that little stuff. Mm-hmm. But I made one real move to that roster, which was DeRozan. In return, I got something.
Yeah, no, you need more than that. Like, you can't just move DeMar. It's like, all right, now we got a point guard. We're good now.
All right, so what's the other move? So now, so one, there we go. You do want to move Monk. You do want
to
move
I think if you're keeping Monk, he needs to be your sixth man. If Monk's going to be back, he needs to be your sixth man. I'm not running back with Malik Monk as my starting point guard.
I just said he's a sixth man. I said DeRozan, you move DeRozan, you get a point guard in here, that moves Monk to the bench, and whatever you get back for DeRozan.
Maybe I do think this team just needs a rebuild then.
Okay.
Yeah, maybe it is just that, because – like, we've talked about Sabonis.
So he just talked you out of your own opinion.
Maybe this team does need a rebound. Because we've talked about so many times, like, Sabonis is not franchise. Like, we've all said it on this show. He's not a one or two. And, like, LaVine, we've learned,
Is there a single team in the postseason? OKC, no. Does Houston... not in the future. Mm-hmm. Right this second. Does Houston have a franchise player?
Not yet, but they have a better team that works. No. You got Jalen Green, too, and Sengun. Like, people are high on Sengun.
Somebody
would
say Sengun's a franchise.
I don't know if it would be Sengun, but people would say Sengun.
Really? Yeah.
Okay.
Sengun is
I wouldn't listen to any argument for the future. I'm not going to listen to an Alperen Sengun as a franchise player, because if the argument is Domantas Sabonis isn't, Sengun isn't either.
We already know what it's going to be. Sengun... and I don't mean this in no disrespect, because I think he's a hell of a basketball player, but he's cute right now until he's making $50 million a year.
Well, there's that.
And it's like, well, damn, how are you going to build around this guy?
And then you got Thompson, too, who people are curious about.
Right, he's the one.
Might be the franchise right there.
He's the one. The Lakers have multiple franchise players. The Denver Nuggets have the franchise player. The Clippers, whether you like it or not, still has Kawhi Leonard.
Whether you like it or not, still has James Harden.
James Harden, the hell of a ball player. But he's not the franchise. Kawhi Leonard is the franchise. James Harden, great ball player right now. Western Conference player of the...
Today, you're talking about today. They're on the same level, Kawhi and James. Today. They're 1A and 1B.
Kawhi's 1A. Minnesota's got Ant-Man. Golden State has Steph. Memphis...
has a job for the time being.
And Jaren Jackson's going to make $300 million.
Well, wait a sec. Ja's a franchise player. I'm dead serious. Ja's a franchise player?
I think so.
No. I'm going to say no.
I think I'm leaning towards no, but I don't. Why did this team have the turnaround that they had this year? Is it because Ja missed a lot of time this year? I don't know how much time it was. But I feel like it was pretty significant. Can I get games played here on this sheet? I can.
Ja
played 50 games.
Ja's fringe. He's fringe.
But why was this team 20, 30 games better?
We'll find out when we come back.
Don't try to drive this show, bro.
Maybe we'll just go to 28. How about that?
We'll find out when we come back. TC going to have to wait a minute because... was it this one? Yep, MP says, weren't you guys supposed to ask D'Lo about his regrets? It just might be today's show. You guys said that this was just the conversation you were having on Friday, which, as we're driving, and he said, hey, you want to put the show on?
Oh, no.
And I'm immediately like, no.
What time was this at?
It was around it took us a minute to get going. I would have just missed the Dr. Wood conversation.
Gotcha.
And so, it was like one something and, early in the 1 o'clock hour. And it was just, nah, it's just let those guys do their thing without me. Like, I don't need to listen. And now and this is why,
well,
apparently there was a conversation about bridges.
Yeah, you've seen that bridge, right? I think it's in China, where it's like the highest bridge of all time. It's
only he has. I'll get the projector.
Yeah, it's ridiculous, bro. It is. It's way too high. Okay. But that got started because of that statue that's in San Francisco. I know you've seen that one.
I saw that. Was that like 32 feet or something?
45.
Oh my God.
And I said, I don't like people statues that tall. And then he's like, what about the Statue of Liberty? I was like, well, that one doesn't bother me. But
Well, I don't think you're ever that. I don't know how close you can get to the Statue of Liberty.
That's a Mandela effect.
What? You can?
They say you can't go either on or in the Statue of Liberty. And people are like,
well, you used to be able to go into the thing, can't you?
Yeah, and they tell you you've never been able to.
Oh, I don't think that's true.
This is the bridge, by the way. No,
this is what the people tell. Look at this bridge. Come on, man. You seen this one?
Oh, yeah, I have not. Come on, bro. What is this a bridge to?
Narnia? Heaven.
Wait a second. Is this real? Are you guys getting fooled?
I don't think we got. Look at it. Come on, man.
This isn't real, is it?
Pretty sure it's real.
Where is this going?
Somewhere in China.
Yeah. We're not 100% sure because we saw reputable.
I don't like how they get the video all fast forwarded and stuff sped up. But.
Yeah, they had reputable news outlets who were posting this, but it's still like, yo, this is crazy. I don't know, bro. I don't know.
See, it's hard hitting stuff.
This is about the time when somebody asked if we.
How did this lead to your biggest regrets?
I don't know.
That just a separate?
What was your regrets? Because you didn't play baseball. No. Hold on, we're gonna solve this damn thing. Kenny didn't play baseball. He gave it up in middle school.
Yeah.
Were you talking? Who are you talking to?
No, I think it was. It might have been Sarah. It might have been Sarah, but I also. It was about going away for school.
Oh yeah, and who were we talking?
I didn't go away.
We were talking to Kyle Madsen about that.
Was it Kyle?
I think we were talking about college.
It was Kyle because he was talking about how he went to Sac State.
Yeah,
yeah. So it was early. You would have caught it. You would have caught it.
Let's implement a new rule. When I'm not here, don't tell me what happened.
It's kind of funny when we do though.
Just live your life, have fun, be high, do whatever you want to do.
We're sober.
Maybe this bridge is real. Maybe it's not.
That damn lady in San Francisco is, she's not real, but the statue is real.
This bridge will cut travel time from 1 hour to 1 minute.
Oh, my gosh. Stop
it. Casey, I think we were wrong.
Stop it.
Somebody please check if that bridge is real, please.
I cannot stand you guys. This is hilarious.
I'm not gonna put D'Lo's check on it, but I think it is real.
No, the name, it's set to open this year, becoming the world's tallest bridge at 2,050 feet high.
That's ridiculous.
Oh, man.
Me and Casey are back then. It's real.
Dude. We're so in there.
That's funny. All right. Well, I'm glad you guys had a productive show.
Oh, yeah, man. Great times.
How was Dr. Wood?
Oh, awesome. He was great, man.
Yeah?
He was great.
That's awesome.
I wasn't sure, you know, how much time we'd have. So there was, you know, some things I wanted to get through that he, you know, he was just great for it. He ended up staying the whole segment.
Good.
28 minutes, man.
That's terrific.
He said, and I'm going to hold him to it, when I was out there yesterday, I was talking to our guy Andy,
mm-hmm.
and then I saw Mark Orr,
mm-hmm.
and I said, hey, man. They were like, oh, man, we love seeing Dr. Wood on the show on Friday. I was like, yeah, man, he did great. It was great. He said, hey, man, he said he had some news this week, and I said, I'm going to send him to StreamYard. And if he wants to make that news right here, he's going to have a link. And they just, boy.
Yeah.
Dr. Luke Wood might have got.
It's a little too comfortable on the show. That'll happen to you on D'Lo and KC.
They both had the same reaction. They're like, oh man, Luke.
Well, that's all right, because that's Mark's reaction anytime we're on to something and he doesn't want to talk about it. Because we had heard rumblings about the basketball head coach. And that was Mark Orr's exact response. All right, Mark.
Oh, yeah. At the end of the interview on Friday, he's like, how about this? Next week, we got some major news coming. I'm going to tell you that, and we're going to drop the mic. And I said, all right, man, come on, man. Hey, you got the link. I'm going to send you the link. He said, all right, it's a done deal.
Poor Mark Orr is probably off behind him going, ah!
That's the thing. You can't do that with it. You can't do that. Okay, he's like, all right, sure. Be here next Wednesday then at 12:30, and I'll send you a link and make your announcement here then. Fine, if you're really about it.
Roddy heard it. Roddy gave his word on air.
Well, let's go back, clip it, and we'll just keep tagging him in.
I feel like Dr. Lou Wood caught himself. He's like, yeah.
No. Yeah. So here's Soren. Dr. Wood coming up next, right after Big Sean.
And then catch you 40 in our 3 o'clock hour.
Yeah. They really had Big Sean booked for our. Oh, he didn't drop the album. That's what happened.
Didn't he get COVID?
They had COVID.
Oh, he got sick. Yeah. He got sick and the album didn't come out.
Big 40, nothing happened.
No, he was on the morning roast. He was like, oh, D'Lo and Casey? Oh, I thought you said Butch and Joe. I'm going to do the show with Butch and Joe.
Yeah, all man.
Right. Played an entire E-40 song, too, that week.
Oh, man. No
on
album.
The stream.
Yeah. We'll get fined $10,000 for it, but the game, they're good. They are good. All right, let's get TC. TC's been waiting for like an hour and a half. 916-909-1320. Elk Grove Kid Talk Line. TC, what's up, baby?
Hey, what's up with my two brothers, man? You know it's all good, man.
Yes, sir. What up, TC?
Hey, just vibing, man. You know, trying to juice. Hey, we got to get it out to Mud Kings, fan. So, you know, Wednesday night, Friday night, and going into that playoff series, man, against the Thunder, it's going to get real. Mm. I'm sitting back listening to y'all, right? So y'all both got a good point, right? And what I mean by that, D'Lo, right, is Jesse's point is, like, nobody, like, the whole, like, oh, he's off the, like, how we was like, oh, Keegan's off the table. So, bro, like, nobody's off the table, bro. I might even listen to that trade packet for Nick Claxton and them couple firsts. I might, if it get any more juicier than that, I might pull that trigger. You get me? DeMar Rosen, as far as the move to be made, you don't got to sell everybody off. But DeMar is the guy that has to go, bro. Like, there's no, like, we can keep him, we can make it work. Like, no, bro, he has to go. And I was one of the biggest guys out here when DeMar first came. And I was wrong, bro. I was wrong. I was the first guy calling y'all, hey, we got a Hall of Famer. Why is everybody tripping, man? Ooh, we got this dude. I was pushing for him. But then my eye test, bro, watching dude with the team, it doesn't work, dude. So we got to move on from that. That's all I got, man. Y'all both got good points, but DeMar has to go, bro. Period.
Yeah, appreciate you, TC. I mean, we can disagree. It's all good. I don't know if he has to go. I think one of the reasons why, me personally, I look at DeMar as the guy to go because he's the easiest to move. You know what I mean? Like, that's where I circle DeMar DeRozan and say, hey, he's got to go. I'm not even saying he's got to go, but like that, if you're looking to make moves, you look at him first. Because he's the easiest one to move and you get the most back in return for, how do I put it? Because, like, you'd get the most back in return for Sabonis, maybe, but he's not the easiest to move. So the combination of what you can get back in return and the easiest guy to move, I think DeMar DeRozan's at the top of that list. So that's why I start with DeMar DeRozan.
Okay.
But I also, and I'll go back a little bit on what TC said as well, is, hey, man, these guys, everybody's going to feel how they want to feel. I'm not telling anybody's right or wrong, but I know me personally, like, I'm excited for Wednesday. I'm excited for their opportunity to get into the playoffs.
Absolutely.
If they played OKC, I'm not going to, oh, now you just get swept. No, man.
I don't care if they get swept. There's maybe it's a consolation prize. Maybe I don't get to the playoffs. Get to the actual playoffs. You lose to the Oklahoma City Thunder, you lose to the Oklahoma City Thunder. Whatever. But get to the playoffs.
Agreed.
And, you know, if you got to beat Dallas for the fourth time, I think that's a tough task. You know, Anthony Davis, the Anthony Davis, you know, DeMontis Sabonis matchup will obviously be a feature talking point, I assume, on NBA TV. Where is that game at?
ESPN.
Okay, thank goodness. Put Mark Jones on the call. And then you're going to have to beat a you're either going to have to beat the Grizzlies or the Warriors if you get past the Mavericks. Like, you've got a tough week ahead if things break your way on Wednesday at home.
Yeah.
I'm not going to be upset if you get to the 8 seed and play the Oklahoma City Thunder. Mm-hmm. I'm going to playoff games.
Yep.
You've got the opportunity to go to playoff games. See this year's MVP play. Mm-hmm. Get to see it. I mean, Mike Brown getting fired, De'Aaron Fox getting traded, all of the stupid nonsense that followed the De'Aaron Fox trade, all of the bickering about guys like Zach LaVine and DeMar DeRozan, and still, I'm sorry, what playoff series did we play in last year?
All right.
Yeah, take it. Yeah. Every Kings fan should take it.
And
worry about Monty, Doug, DeMar, LaVine, Malik, whatever. Worry about that later. Mm-hmm. Just enjoy Wednesday. See if that goes our way.
Yeah, and see if they can get that win on Wednesday. And you get to Friday, and, you know, if you're able to get past Wednesday, you get to Friday and see what they can do there. You know what I mean? And then I already guaranteed a Game 3 win. I did that on Friday. I said the Kings are winning Game 3. Guaranteed it.
Game 3 of?
The first round.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
I guaranteed it. So when they win Game 3, no, I had it first.
So you got them winning the next two?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, good. But I didn't guarantee those. I guaranteed Game 3. Those
Isn't
are up in the air.
Isn't that a de facto game?
Those are up in the air. I guaranteed
Game
3.
It's one of those
dashes
if necessary.
There's some fuzzy math on this one right here. There is some fuzzy math on this one right here.
Yeah, man. I'm excited for it, man. I think the Golden One Center will be hyped up on Wednesday night. At least I hope it will. And
oh, it will be. Yeah, it will be. Twitter can bitch and complain all they want to. Like, the Golden One Center is going to be, it's going to be popping.
Yeah.
It's going to be popping on Wednesday. Yeah. I made a note about Malik Monk earlier. The conversation about Malik Monk as a starter is over, right? Or is it?
Probably so. I do think it depends on what you're able to get, what you're able to do with this roster. I'm just throwing out a name. I'm not saying they'd get this guy, but if you were able to get a Drew Holiday, maybe he starts. Maybe Monk starts, right? Because you'd have a bigger point guard who isn't as much of a scorer. And you'd use Malik Monk at that shooting guard position, but you're not at a deficit in the backcourt because you have your defensive-minded guard in a Drew Holiday. Throw Zach LaVine out there as your three, Keegan to the four, do it that way. So there are ways that I think he still could start, but, you know, I'm painting scenarios. For the most part, like, I think he goes back to the bench next year.
All right, let's get to Calvin here. Elk Grove Kia Talk Line 916-909-1320. Calvin, what's up, brother?
Hey, what's up, dude? OKC, how are y'all this afternoon?
Good, man.
All right. I just want to talk about our Kings and how this whole De'Aaron Fox and Mike Brown thing went down. I'm telling you, this is kind of what happened, I believe. De'Aaron saw, you know, Victor did something. Everybody did. He almost beat our whole team by himself, correct? Victor did. There was nobody we could get that would be good enough for to pair with De'Aaron. We have a collection of talent. We're not going to get better by trading talent away. I mean, our team is not perfect by any means, but if you ask any coach, he wants more talent than less talent. So I would like to keep as much talent around as we can. And I would also like to say, please, everybody, put respect on Keegan's name, because he did become the most prolific three-point shooter and was asked to become our best defender, and he did it. So every coach would love that. So okay, we should all love Keegan.
Okay. I don't not like Keegan. He was a great three-point shooter his rookie year. He fell off a little bit last year. He fell off a little bit more this year. That's I guess the common belief is because he was asked to be. He was asked to play a very difficult position on the other side of the floor. Mm-hmm. He was tasked frequently with guarding the other team's best player. Sometimes that went to Keon. Sometimes it went to Keegan and Keon. I am not of the belief that Keegan Murray isn't an important component to this team. Mm-hmm. I'm not of the belief that Keegan Murray is like a fast rising star in this league. He's a good basketball player who's going to be a beneficial player for every team that he's on. Mm-hmm. And that's fine. That to me is who he is. I think he's up for the contract extension this year. Mm-hmm. That's this year. That's this off season. So that'll be an interesting, you know, that'll be an interesting negotiation. I think it'll be an interesting negotiation no matter who the general manager is, whether it's Monty McNair or someone else. I think it'll be a really, really interesting contract negotiation if it's someone other than Monty McNair. Right. Yeah. I don't know.
Keegan Murray bounced back and ended up having a solid season. It was nothing mm-hmm. great. It's nothing like that rookie year. But this year, he finished 12.4 points per game. His rebounds went up to the highest of his three-year career, 6.7.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Shot 44% from the field, 34% from beyond the arc, which he had to hustle to get there.
Yeah,
he had to hustle. But it's not much different from last year on the percentage-wise. Mm-hmm. Shot 45% from the field, 35.8% from beyond the arc. He averaged 15.2 points per game last year. Now, he got about two more shots a game last year. But where Keegan ended up this year,
mm-hmm.
I don't have a problem with. Like, I don't have a problem with. I thought Keegan was fine. I thought he was good. I'm with you. I'm not sitting here thinking, like, he can do so much more. I don't believe that about Keegan. You know what I mean? But that also doesn't mean, like, I'm trying to move on from him or he's not good. Like, I think he's good.
Yeah.
I think he's really good. He's a valuable asset to this team.
Well, to Calvin's other point, you got to add more talent around him.
Yeah.
Or you got to add more talent to this team.
Yeah. So, like, as he is, if he plays about the same again next year, I think that'd be perfectly fine if you have other guys around him. I'm not one of those people.
I'd like to see that 34 get closer to 38.
Yeah. I want to see that pick up a little bit. But I'm not of the belief, and we'll talk to James at three, that others are holding him back.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't see Keegan like that. Like, he's a good ball player. And if anybody's holding him back, it's himself. Like, he gets enough wide open looks that he doesn't hit that would make his numbers be better. So if he just shoots the ball a little bit better when he gets those open looks, you'll see his numbers go up with that alone.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm just not a believer that he's a 18, 20 point per game scorer on a really good team. He may do that if nobody's around mm-hmm. and somebody's got to take the shots. Mm-hmm. Sure. But if you're a really good team, I don't think Keegan Murray is averaging that. I think he's about what he was this year. With some higher percentages.
Let's see what our man Joe was talking about on the Elk Grove Kia Talk Line, 916-909-1320. What's up, Joe?
What's up, D-Lo Kenny? You want to talk to the real Kings Insider? You're talking to him right now, all right?
All right.
I love it, Joe. I love it. What you got for us?
Okay. I got two things. First thing, the way the Kings expose the Dallas Mavericks in that size. In the playoffs, the big man is not utilized that well. So what you have to do is you have to throw Trey Lyles in there a little bit more and cut Vanachulis out. You put Murray, Lyles, Sabonis, LaVine, and DeRozan, and you go a little small and you start hitting threes because Gafford, P.J. Washington, Anthony Davis are going to have a rough time trying to extend to cover Sabonis and Lyles out there at the three-point line. What do you think?
Okay.
That doesn't sound crazy.
No, I think there's also a unique, because we had the stat in, you know, nice little breakdown from our man Joe right there.
Yeah.
The Kings are 3-0 against them. I think there's a, correct me if I'm wrong on this, there's an interesting component to them. Like, it's fascinating because it crosses two teams. They never played Luka Doncic at all this year.
No.
Because he didn't play in any of the Dallas games, and he didn't play in any of the Laker games. So they just completely missed Luka Doncic this year. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, Anthony Davis wasn't back at, in post-trade Mavericks games.
No. Nope.
So they haven't played Anthony Davis as a Dallas Maverick either.
Right.
Now, to me, Kyrie is out. Not to me. That's a fact. Kyrie is out. To me, with Kyrie out, there's no... The Sacramento Kings are better than this version of the Dallas Mavericks.
I agree.
And, you know, we could talk about the Kyrie. We could talk about what this team might look like in the future. Oh, that's fine. This version of the Dallas Mavericks, though, I believe the Sacramento Kings are better than. And if we're talking about a 1v1 of Domas and Anthony Davis, I'll take that. Give me that. And if you utilize Trey Lyles and Jonas Valanciunas, that's great. Everything else leans Sacramento's way. Mm. And that's one of the frustrating components for me going into this game. You are better than Dallas. And you this isn't the likes of losing to the Washington Wizards. This isn't the likes of losing to Charlotte or whatever. But
Phoenix on game 82.
Yeah, like this on your home floor with these stakes. Yeah, this would be tough. I'd feel different if Kyrie was there.
I would.
I'd be like, this is it is what it is. But he's not.
Yeah.
And it's really down to Anthony Davis. I mean, you know, Clay is capable at any moment. Those moments have kind of been few and far between. Mm-hmm. PJ Washington has certainly had his moments against Sacramento at the beginning of the season, but other than that, man,
the Kings,
you know, Max Christie gonna beat your ass. Like I don't. Nah. You're gonna need a high level performance from somebody.
The Kings
don't get beat by Kessler Edwards.
No, don't.
If he's still there, is he still there?
I think so. Yeah.
Don't get beat by Kessler.
The Kings.
Edwards.
They look. It can't happen because Dallas is. They get coached up, and you know they play a tough brand of basketball. But if you lose to the Dallas Mavericks at home with your season on the line,
mm-hmm.
you deserve for your season to end. It's as simple as that. You should win this game.
Yeah.
You should win this game on Wednesday. Doesn't mean that anything can't happen. Mm-hmm. Like Dallas could be good in that game. But if you're the Kings with what you have on that roster, you should win that game at home.
I agree. You're at the Golden 1 Center. Get it done.
Yep, 100%.
Get it done. 916-909-1320 if you want to get in on these conversations. A couple of things. We'll come back. There's a number of things that happened across the association. Not as much as we thought, though, including the news of a contract extension coming before the season ended for a guy we thought might be fired. We'll talk about that. And everything else happening around the NBA. And Rory McIlroy gave us a moment yesterday, a moment that wasn't sure was going to happen for my brother. We'll come back. It's Dilo and KC on Sacramento Sports Leader ESPN 1320. Shout out to Rory McIlroy.
Shout out to him.
Finally,
man,
won the Masters.
Big ups, man. Tiger gave him a congratulatory text or tweet.
Mm-hmm.
Say, welcome to the club.
Got a little scary for Rory, though, huh?
It did, man, and it feels like I felt I did not want him. I was like, nah, brother, not again.
Did you watch it live? Did you watch
it? I did. Okay. I mean, I watched a good chunk of the last group.
Gotcha.
Yeah, that was dramatic.
Yeah.
That was dramatic, and I mean, I know everyone's thinking the same thing. God, man, brother, don't let this happen to you again.
Mm.
You know, he had the moment, I think it was in 11, that just four-shot collapse in 2011.
I didn't even watch golf like that. And I was like, oh, come on, Rory, not again.
Yeah, like come on, man. Like, I, You know what the funny thing to me is, and I'm sure they said this yesterday on the broadcast, and I didn't catch it. I saw it this morning. Rory's 35. That was the crazy part to me. I feel like Rory McIlroy has been in our life for forever.
Yeah.
But like 35 years old, like I forgot there was a time, you know, as Tiger Mania was, you know, hitting its peak, and or not even it was starting to, you know, hit the downturn. We didn't know it at the time, but that's ultimately what happened. He was the young hotness. He was like, who's next?
Who's next?
Yeah, he was one of the guys who was next. And God, 35, like you couldn't have told me that he wasn't in his 40s.
Made his pro debut at 16.
Wow.
Man. On the European tour.
Wow.
Good for Rory.
He's everything people thought Sergio might be. Because Sergio was supposed to be like,
oh boy, the they next. Hated Sergio's ass. Oh my God. Rightfully so.
What's wrong with Sergio Garcia for Sergio those who don't
know? A tool.
I ain't followed it, but it seemed like everything he did was a problem.
Sergio hated Tiger. Pretty sure he hated black people.
No, I'm being serious.
I remember he spit in a cup. We talk about that. Yeah. And
I think he had a couple questionable things to say about Tiger. Yeah. Kind of made you raise your eyebrows a little bit. Like,
yeah.
Huh. Yeah.
It feels like he hasn't said or done anything right. Every time he opens his
mouth. I don't even know if he's won since then.
No, yeah, and then he's just stopped winning too. I don't know if he like ever started really winning, but
yeah, don't be a loud mouth and lose. No one will care about you.
No.
Well, congrats to Rory, man. They gave us a classic career grand slam for Rory McIlroy yesterday.
Yeah.
As the Masters came to its conclusion.
Does golf still have, I guess, with the loss with Tiger, like yesterday, I feel like people were kind of like on social media, like tapped in, like, do they still have their moments? Can they?
I think the Masters. Well, I think if you have a close Sunday at the Masters, yeah. And then it's no different, I think, than a football game where, you know, a football game's ratings will skyrocket or you'll see something if it's close in the fourth quarter. Mm. And when you have every shot is crucial to the outcome. Yeah, people are going to tune in because it's easier to get invested. Like it might be hard to get invested, you know, on Thursday at 9 a.m.
Right.
But on Sunday in the middle of the afternoon, when you're watching the two guys, the two, not the field, you're watching the two guys competing for the jacket. Yeah. Like I think there's always going to be intrigue there regardless of who's in the final group. But when it's a guy like Rory, yeah, you know, Rory's, no one moves the needle like Tiger. There are guys that come close. No one moves the needle like Tiger. There are guys that move the needle.
Right.
Rory moves the needle.
Right.
Just don't compare him to Tiger, and you're fine. And I think we'll see today, if we haven't already, people tuned in to watch Rory McIlroy yesterday.
Golf is interesting because...
Or that matchup.
Golf is interesting to me because it is purely... I'm trying to find a better way to say it, but there might only be one way. It's just purely an adult sport. Like,
sure,
they have zero appeal to anyone under 30.
So this will be interesting to follow today. The first round of the Masters was down 28%. That's Thursday. Mm-hmm. I'll be curious to see what the number is from yesterday.
Yeah, and I'd
be shocked if it wasn't a great number.
It probably went crazy, but like, well, Jesse's under 30, so maybe he has an appeal. But
like, I was following on Twitter. I was not tapped in. I'll say that
it is purely 35 and up. Mm-hmm. It feels like,
and probably a little older too.
Yeah,
I mean, you could tell by the commercials who's like the main,
right?
Like that's why Buick has been sponsored. Like I'm. Who Jesse's age is? You know what I want? A Buick.
Right.
Yeah, nobody.
Yeah.
I don't know anyone under 60 who...
Can't confirm, never once in my life said I wanted a Buick so far.
Yeah, like that's definitely... But at the same time, like Buick is a sponsor, but you also get Cadillac. You get like more luxury. You get
Rolex
a
sponsor?
Yeah. Money. Like golf isn't cheap to play.
Right.
So they're expecting the people who have the Cartier money to join the clubs and all that. Cartier. It's for people who have been. It's for people who have been to Cartier stores three times.
Exactly.
Not
at least three times so far in their life.
Do you know both of you guys can go like three times this week?
Three times that they admit to. What would I go to the Cartier store for if I'm not going to buy anything?
You can browse. You can see what's going on. Like, oh, maybe I like this.
Have you bought something every time?
Oh, good question. Wow.
Enough to think about it. It's at least two. We know
that. No, I haven't.
Well, you definitely did once.
Definitely did once. Definitely did twice. The other time, I don't think I got anything.
So, yeah, two out of three. Wow. I believe that's like a 667 batting average right there.
If I use the promo code KingKC_916, can I get a discount?
No.
Now, Stephen Brown, Kenny Cartier. That's a good call right there.
Kenny Cartier.
That's a good one. That's Stephen Brown's finest moment right there. Kenny Cartier.
And he's in movies and stuff. It'll show them the credits. Yeah, Kenny Cartier. Madden number two.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. I thought about that because obviously you think about these things with, I got a 12-year-old and Rory to come to the front door and he get away, creep.
Right. Stranger danger.
I don't want to buy anything.
Stranger danger.
But if, like, to a certain degree, like, I know this is maybe not a fair comparison, but if Jake Paul came to his front door, oh, snap. Jake, if Speed came to his front door, oh snap, that's Speed. You know what I mean? And just a lot of other athletes, right? Like a football player, a lot of basketball players. Even if Vlad Guerrero came to his front door, he would know. Golf doesn't have anybody that appeals to the kids, and it's not in any danger. Like, and it's, saying it should be.
Right.
I'm just saying it's just not. Like, they're good as far as viewership. They're good as far as, you know, sponsors, all that other stuff, because it's purely 35 to 80.
It looks like Saturday's coverage was up to 7 million. So they went from 2.8 on Thursday to 7 plus on Saturday. And as soon as I can't find the number anywhere, which leads me to believe it is just not out yet. So as soon as we have it, because I know everyone is hanging on the edge of their seat to know how many people watched the Masters yesterday?
That's so interesting that they have that many people that watch golf.
7 million people watching on Saturday is fascinating to me. Because nothing, that's like tuning into a game in the second quarter, knowing, or the third quarter, I guess, to make it more, knowing you don't get to see the fourth quarter until Sunday.
Yeah. Is there anything?
The interesting thing about that, though, too, and not that it would matter. Like, I don't think the NBA would have curbed their ratings much of it all. But there was nothing on Saturday.
Absolutely nothing.
I was at home, and by about 3 o'clock, because even the Giants played like a 12 o'clock game or something like that. There was nothing on but baseball. Like, I know I watched some baseball or something like that, but there was no basketball. There was nothing on. But the Masters.
Yeah, you asked my exact question right now.
Like, I don't think they would pull that. Well, maybe they would, and maybe they have. I was going to say, I don't know if they pull that number in September. You think they'd pull a 7 on a Saturday, week 2 of the college football?
They might, and no, they probably have. No, because it'd be on CBS. I don't know where.
they might have, though, like the PGA
certainly
championships
on the
or
golf
something
channel.
Like that. Like, what it'll be on NBC. Right before Notre Dame or something like that.
What if it was competing with the NFL on a Saturday? We'll call it Broncos Raiders Saturday, Amazon Prime, if you want.
You know, like, people don't – hey, I know people don't think about it like that. You might have something there.
I think they might still pull a
you
seven.
You might split the audience.
You
like,
they can still pull it off?
I think that crossover audience is a lot greater than an NBA game. And you can, like you could tell by the advertisers, the crossover audience is so similar. You're not getting a Kia ad on either of those things. Just a quick look, because we love this stuff. I get so fascinated by this stuff. 2023, CBS reported the final round averaged 12 million, making it the most watched golf telecast in 5 years. Tiger Woods' victory at the Masters.
Oh, let me guess. Let me guess. This the most recent one, right? Like 18 or 19?
19.
19. If that was 12 last year, I'd say 20.
This can't possibly be right. I'd say 28. Right. This can't possibly be right.
I'm going to go with 22. It's
going to be the 30s then.
Does it top Hogan versus Andre?
It does.
On NBC?
This does. This can't. I have
I'm putting
to, I have
it at
to,
28.
This looked like an AI thing. I have to click the article. The network totaled. Okay. All right. Stand by.
Okay.
So the number for that year was 16.2.
On Sunday?
Yeah. No. The number for Tiger.
Oh,
the 19.
Tiger. Got you.
The 1997 Masters. Tiger.
20, that's a 28.
44.
See, and that's what I was thought. So it should be a win for me because I thought you were talking 97. And that's why I said 28.
Well, he said.
No, but I thought you were talking. Hogan. I thought you were talking 97. I count it.
Count it.
Count it. It's a win for me.
A win in what?
Yeah.
Ratings watching.